Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I sat on that front seat and I watched each person on this platform right here, the very end. They were singing and they were worshiping. And it is a unique thing because I see a lot of places and people and services. So many times people are singing, but they're not worshiping. But every one of these people on this platform were literally lost in worship. And they were not performing, they were worshiping the Lord. I think of a woman I know that has just a beautiful voice, but every time I hear her sing or see her sing in a church service, it is as if she is just totally presenting her voice for us to be entertained and to observe how talented she is, but it's never about worship. But every one of you today, I want to commend you. I watched you, and you were lost in worship. And that's really what they're supposed to be doing, is lose themselves in worship that we could follow them in worship. And then I looked across this house, and way back in the back, there were people truly worshiping God. I believe that the majority of the people that come here are not just observers, but I believe that you are what the Bible calls true worshipers of God. True worshipers. We have come here to worship the Lord. And if we truly come into these doors, every service to worship God, God will invest his power in our lives, and we will be blessed from rising up to the setting of the sun. Amen? Thank you for being here today. I want to continue on this, and I'll try to wrap it up today, the house of God, the gate to heaven. I want to talk today primarily on earth's investment, heaven's inventory. Let's look at Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place?" I think both of those emotions are those that are not yet converted. Afraid what would happen in God's house. So many people that are strong and brave in other areas are actually afraid to come to a church. There's something that the devil has instilled in them that has resulted in tremendous fear. He was afraid, and he said, "How dreadful is this place?" But that's all going to change in just a few moments with Jacob as he has an encounter with God. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You may be seated. As I've studied this for weeks now, there's probably no better synopsis of the entire experience with God than this encounter that Jacob has with God on this mountainside. It embodies everything that the Bible teaches. It embodies the transformation of someone that was a thief and a liar to a real man of God. It embodies that wonderful transformation where this place that was dreadful suddenly becomes the very key place of his existence, the oasis of his life. All of the gospel is contained in what happens here. You see, when we come to God's house, when we come to church, it's one of two things. It is either the greatest act of futility that we do. People gather all across America, still by the millions, even though millions do no longer attend any house. Austin, Texas is recorded to be the most unchurched city in America, and there are lots of them. But there are still millions of people that attend. But for many of them, it's an act of futility. Nothing ever happens to them. No decisions are ever made. No battles are ever won. No victories are ever recorded. It's futile for them to go to God's house. For others, it is the most significant decision of our lives, because it was at the house of God that we heard truth that made us free, truth that transformed our lives, truth that changed us and changed us from where we were to where we were going, to what God wanted to do in our life. And so there's lots of bases to make a decision on what building to go to worship and what church you choose. The smallness of number does not nullify. Simply because there's only 50 people there does not mean it cannot be the house of God. Nor does the largest of number validate and say, well, there are thousands of people. It must be right. And the two main points of this series that I've tried to instill in you is, do we place as much importance on attending God's house as God places on it? And number two, does the church we attend meet God's criteria as the gate to heaven? God's always had a place for his people throughout the history of man and God's dealing with man. He's always had a place. He's always had a city of refuge. He's always had a place of Goshen. He's always had a tabernacle. He's always had a temple. Jesus was a regular attendee of the temple as he announced his ministry in this world. We have shadows of what God's house is supposed to be all through the Bible, but the only true pattern of what God expects his house to be in this age, the 21st century, is the book of Acts. That is the pattern. The first four books of the Bible, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are not the church in action. They are the recorded history of Jesus Christ and his ministry. And when you go beyond the book of Acts and you read the epistles, they're primarily about the behavior of those that are saved. But the book of Acts is exactly that. It is the book of action. It's the actions of the apostles. It's the actions of his people. It is the action of the Holy Ghost. It is our responsibility to discern the house, whether this be the house of God and the gate of heaven, or this is simply conscious salve. Somewhere where we go, somebody told me that they go to a certain city here, a certain church here in the city, one of the largest churches in the city. Said, we go because it is absolutely the least church I've ever been to. My wife tells me I have to go to church. My mother taught me to go to church. And when I go here, I know in 55 minutes I will be out of that place and nothing has ever happened. So he said, I do that as a sentence. Every Sunday I go with my wife because it's the least there is. One preacher told me about another preacher, said, that preacher is kind of unique because when you have him preach, it's like treading water. You know nothing is ever going to happen. There's something wrong with people that go to church wanting nothing to happen. Something wrong with people that want to hear a preacher that's treading water. Nothing ever happens. The truth is, it's our responsibility to find the very gate of heaven. And we do that by finding a true house of God. It's the most important decision in our life. It influences our day-to-day living. It influences our children and our family. Not only that, it will probably decide our eternal destination. Jacob was running for his life. And that's what most of us are doing when we come to the house of God. We are running for our life. Jeremiah said, we have committed two evils, talking about Israel. We have forsaken the fountains of living water and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Most churches would fall in the latter category, broken cisterns that hold no water. And without the eternal water of God, nothing happens in their life. But they've forsaken the things of God. The apostle said it this way. He said they will have a manifestation of works, but they will deny the power of God. They will not allow God's Spirit to work. And so when we talk about God's house, you came to God's house today, and your very attendance in the house of God is an investment. You're investing your time. People say to me, all I need is a little of your time. Sir, you're asking for the most important thing I have. Time is the most important thing I have. And the older I get, the more valuable my time is. I did learn this as I get older. When I was young, I watched old people that were so out of it. I mean, just so out of it. And I thought, man, they don't know they're out of it. I found this out. We know we're out of it. We chose to be out of it. And we don't want to be in what you're in. It's a conscious decision that we make. And so we realize that. But time is the most valuable thing that we have. And so today, you've invested time. And from an investment, there ought to be a return. Earth's investment ought to bring a great inventory of heaven. When we talk about God's house, I've talked about it. Number one, we want God's presence here. Without God's presence, it's futility. Number two, we must embrace the supernatural. We cannot buy into the secularist opinion that all supernatural things, if they ever existed, have now ceased. I want to tell you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God still works miracles, that people still get gloriously saved, marvelously healed, and restored by the supernatural power of God. I want to tell you that God's presence hovers over this place just like it did the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament. And if we would woo God's presence and seek God's face, that God's presence will settle down in a place called a church. And in that presence, there will be miracles that will occur. And you can come so heavily bound and laden with cares of this life and cast them here and walk out those doors so free because a miraculous intervention of an almighty God has taken place. God today can give you reprieve from no matter what your burden or your bondage is, no matter how heavy your life is. He said you can put off the spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise, indicating that praise is a lightness and a liberty that nothing else can espouse. And so when you come to God's house, you must embrace the fact that this is a place of the supernatural. And last but not least, we must make sure that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached, and it is the foremost authority. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. The land of the multitude is not necessarily the oasis of safety, simply because a lot of people agree, and it is not the conclusion of the multitude that defines truth, because the multitude is generally wrong. Church is not a democracy. Jesse Duplantis likes to say it's a theocracy, and his name is Theo, but that's not true either. That's a joke. It is a theocracy, and God is in charge. It's not a democracy. It's not what the crowd decides. It's what God said. His word is true. It is true from evermore, from everlasting to everlasting. The gospel cannot be altered to fit the common lifestyle of the present culture. It is what God said, and that never, ever changes. It is the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Every man must be born again. Jesus Christ must become their Savior and their Lord. That is the gospel. All of that decides whether we're in a church, a house of God, a gateway to heaven, or whether we are just in a religious gathering. Just a religious gathering does not avail anything. But if you're in the real house of God, it will cause your flesh to conform to the Spirit, and suddenly you won't be an old man, you'll be a new man. Not an old woman, but a new woman. You'll be a new species, a new creation. Your own mother will not recognize the goodness and the kindness and the power of God that flows out of you because something has happened inside of you in the human heart, which was once deceitfully wicked, but now it has been reformed because God said, I'll take out that old heart and put a new heart inside of you. That happens in the very power and the presence of the gospel. But in order for you to have an experience like that, you have to realize the importance of meeting with God. And you have to realize that God is the author and the finisher, so God gets to choose the meeting place. And so God said, my house. He places a tremendous emphasis on his house. I will meet you in my house. When two or three are gathered together in my name, I will meet you in my house. And so the house of God, in order for you to become that outstanding individual that God created for you to be, the house of God has to take on a significance as it did with Jacob. He showed up as Jacob and left as Israel because it was Luz, but now it became Bethel. It was insignificant, and now it is the house of God. He was one that was from behind, always the tail, always the bottom, always beneath, always last, always defeated. But that little wrestling match at Bethel changed his life forever. Instead of the heel grabber, he becomes the trendsetter. Something happened to him on that mountainside that made him become Israel. And that means that God is now your champion, that God will go before you and make the way straight. that you won't fight your own battles. You won't fight in flesh and blood. Our warfare is not through the carnal weapons of flesh and blood, but praise God, it's done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God becomes not only our creator, but he becomes our armed strength. He becomes the one that goes before us. He's the one that defeats every enemy. He's one that makes sure that every weapon that is formed against us fizzles. Because now God is our contender. That's what happened to Israel. And it happened to Jacob that became Israel because he found a place that he called the house of God. The Apostle Paul talks about the gospel, but he rephrases it and he calls it my gospel. If you're going to become what God wants you to be, it's not the gospel, it's not a gospel, it's not a way. Now it's my way, it's my gospel, it's my truth. Because I have transformed myself through the Spirit of the living God to become like him. And now I no longer walk after the flesh, but I am led by the Spirit. And those that are led by the Spirit have the power to become the sons of Almighty God. And that's the reason why I take it as a very solemn authority to stand before you service after service, because I preach not to mere men and women, but I talk to the sons of Almighty God, because the majority of the people that sit in these pews are not sinners. They're not lost. They're not wayfaring people, but they are people that have found their Bethel. They have come to the house of God. The majority of the people that I preach to do not come occasionally, but they come every Wednesday and they come every Sunday because you have been transformed. It's no longer Luz, it's now Bethel. You're no longer Jacob, you are now Israel. You are the handiwork of God. You are the restored people of God. You're no longer servants and beggars and aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, but now the Bible said you are my sons of God. And the Bible said you're now kings and priests. You are a special people, a peculiar people. And that's the reason why you come to God. You don't come because you're afraid of Steve or Brandon. You come because his house has become your house. And you've invested a great thing and a great part of your life into God's house. These doors don't open without you passing through them because your investment is great. Friend, I can give you the assurance if you make that kind of investment that you have a tremendous inventory, not just on this earth, but you have a tremendous inventory in heaven. David had documented his allegiance to the house of God in the 23rd Psalm when he said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee. I will go where you go and lodge where you lodge, and your people will be my people." There are people sitting in this building right now that have friendships and relationships in this very building with people sitting across the aisle and down the pew that are greater than it is with their blood kin. Why is that? We realize who we are, that we're just passing through. This world is not our home. And we realize to set together in a heavenly place, a church house, a house of God, a gate to heaven, is a foretaste of what we are going to experience for eternity. One of these days, it's going to be church forever. You said, "I hate to go to church." Well, let me give you some advice. Don't go to heaven, because heaven is going to be church on steroids. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be happy. It's going to be singing. It's going to be praising. It's going to be dancing. That's the reason why most church services are not heavenly places, because it's not the house of God and it's not the gate of heaven. It's simply man-made religion, and it's as foreign to God as anything that you can think of. But this is the house of God, where we begin to meditate on the Lord. When we think of the goodness of the Lord, our soul cries out hallelujah. When we realize where we were brought from and the miry pit from which we were digged, when we realize where we are compared to where we could have been, and when we realize where we are going, we just can't be sad. We say, "Oh, happy day, he washed my sins away. I'm on my way now. I wished I could stay a little longer and convert somebody else, but hey, come and go with me to my Father's house." For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to build some many mansions right here, because this is a replica of the tabernacle of eternity. This needs to be a place of celebration. This needs to be a place of worship. This needs to be a place of glorification. This needs to be the house of God. You don't want to be a stranger in heaven. When you get there, you want to say, this feels like home to me. I've been to a place similar to this on earth. It was a place where Jesus was present. It was a place where God was praised. It was a place where healing flowed. It was a place where joy was manifested. Hey, this is what I thought heaven was going to be like all alone. And so when you go to church on Sunday, it should not be a reminiscent of a funeral. It ought to be a celebration of life. I've come here to sing the Lord's song. I've come here to lift up Jesus Christ. But praise God, we have quite an investment. You see, Jesus invested everything he had in the church. The Bible tells us that. The question is, how much have we invested in the church? You won't invest much until you believe it's the house of God. If your church is simply a meeting place, you don't want to invest much. But if you believe your church is the house of God, you don't mind investing your time, your treasure, and your talent. If you believe this is the gate of heaven, everything you've got is on display, because praise God, this is my gate to heaven. This is where I launch from. And so I'm going to invest what I have. And so the very last verse in this great 28th chapter of Genesis kind of sums it up. He said, I come again to my Father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that I give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He said, this is God's house. And it's here in God's house that God has become my Lord. You see, there's always been a God, but he hasn't always been my Lord. It was at God's house that the God of the universe became my Lord and I become his son. It's where the exchange was made. It's where the transformation took place. When I was a 10-year-old boy at God's house, I gave my life to Christ. And I was baptized a few days later in God's house. It was 3 days later, 3 years later, praise God, I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost in God's house. It has a particular significance to me. This place is not called Luz, it's called Bethel. This is the house of God, the gate of heaven. And so here it is that God became my Lord. And so he said, because of that, I will return often. And not only that, he said, I will bring a tenth of everything that God gives me to the house of God. Those that are anti-God, those that are anti-church, those that are anti-spiritual like to tell you that tithe began under the law. But here it is in the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis that tithing was born. It was not born out of a rule. It was not born out of a regulation. It was not born out of duress. It was born out of joy. It was born out of expectation. It was born out of the love that Jacob had in his heart for the God that has now embraced him and said, not only did Isaac bless you, but praise God, I'm going to bless you from this day forward. And Jacob threw up his hands and said, thank you, God, for putting your ladder down in my life and sending your angels to minister to me. And because of that, everything that I touch, I'll bring 10% to your house. My time, my talent, my treasure. No investment, no significance. It's simply Luz. It's not Bethel. But those of you that invest your prayer time and your worship time and your time coming to God's house and writing your checks and investing your talent and your time and you serve as ushers and you serve as worshipers to the Lord and you serve in the schools and the Sunday schools and wherever, you're making a great investment. But praise God, I want to tell you that Jacob equated the ownership of the house with God being his Lord. His ownership was validated by the bringing of his tenth. He said, now I'm a part owner in the house of God. Somebody says about somebody with a strong personality, she thinks she owns the church. Friend, that's not an indictment against her. That's an indictment against you. You ought to think you own the church. You ought to think these lights won't burn if I'm not there. Somebody said if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it really make a sound? That's not the important question. If you're not here, do these lights really burn? If you're not here, does praise really go up? If you're not here, does church really happen? You need to take an ownership in God's house and say, this house not only belongs to God and his multitude, it belongs to me. Just as Paul said, this is my house. Just as Ruth said, this is my lodging place. You need to say, this is my house. The house of God is my house. The gate of heaven is my gate. It started with a transformed mind. A transformed mind in a transformed place with a heart filled with gratitude for what happened to him when God let his ladder down. Tithing is not a result of the law. It's an overflow of gratitude. Lord, I want to deposit something. I want to invest something. I want to be a partner. I want to be a joint heir. Don't claim to be a joint heir with Christ and an heir of the Father if you've never invested anything. You've got to bring something to the table. And praise God, there are people that bring something to the table every time you come to the house of God. Some perch like owls with big eyes and never make a sound. But there are people that come in here that they slap their hands together with rhythm while every note is being sounded. Their feet tap. Once in a while, they can't sit down. They've just got to let off a hallelujah. They've got to scream a thank you, Jesus. They've got to sing along with every singer. They're praise hounds. They pursue God because they remember what it was to be running from the elder brother of death and finding themselves all alone and suddenly God showing up and putting his ladder down and transforming them from a thief and a liar to the real heir of God. They know what it is, and this is a holy and sacred place. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, when you make an investment from earth into the house of God, it is now determined that it becomes heaven's inventory. Jesus would tell us in Matthew 6, lay up not your treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up your treasures in heaven, which neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I ask you, is your heart at the house of God? Is your heart at the gate of heaven? Have you ever invested anything in God's house? Have you ever invested anything in heaven? Say, well, I don't want to lay up my treasures in the earth. I want to lay up in heaven. How do I do that? By coming to God's house, acknowledging there is a God, that there is a place where God rendezvous with man, and that's called the house of God and the gate to heaven. You keep this place saturated with your tears. You keep it incubated with your love for God. You keep it alive with your praise. And you know it was not just enunciation when he said, come into my courts and into my gates with praise and thanksgiving. When you're driving up in the parking lot, you realize you're going to make a difference. Friend, you make a difference. Some of you are like the little boy with the lunch. If it hadn't been for one little boy with a lunch, 5,000 men would have went home hungry because the disciples, the religious, were unprepared. But one little boy brought a lunch and gave it to Jesus. And Jesus fed the 5,000 and then took that little lunch and its remnant and gave the little boy back 12 baskets full. I tell you, he invested. And because of that, he had an immediate inventory. If you will invest in the things of God, God will give you an immediate inventory. We'll see them all around us, but even more than that, hallelujah, the inventory that we really have is in heaven. I've got an inventory in heaven. Praise God. I have sought first the kingdom of God, and now he will add all these things to me. I ask you, have you made God's kingdom your priority? You seek first the kingdom of God? Everything I do evolves around God's house. You want an appointment with me? It can't be at 9 or 11 or 7 on Wednesday because that's my priority. That's God's house. It has to be a priority over kids' sports. It has to be a priority over soccer. It has to be a priority over vacations and recreation. It has to be a priority over family reunion. The house of God means everything. When I tithe, when I give, when I attend God's house, I'm increasing my inventory of heaven, which I can and do draw on often and readily. When I am laying on my hospital bed and the doctor said he won't live or he won't walk, praise God, I've got an inventory. It might be your prayers that go to heaven, but praise God, it's on the shelves of my inventory that those prayers march along and say, here's a little healing. If you sent nothing up, nothing's coming down. The Bible tells us to bring the tithe to the storehouse. What is the storehouse? It's the kingdom of God. And when you bring your tithe and your offering, your attendance, your time, your treasure to the house of God, what are you doing? You're filling a storehouse. Sooner or later, buddy, you're going to need it. There's going to be a time when your mother-in-law's not good for it. There's going to be a time when the doctor says, nope, I can't help you. There's going to be a time when the banker says, I'm not going to make the loan. But if you have made an investment in God's kingdom and sought God first, you have a riches in heaven that the devil cannot deprive you of. And suddenly from nowhere, God said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. He said, I will rebuke the devourer. And he said, I will cause your fruit not to give. I'll cause your vineyard not to give its fruit before its time. I'll stop abortion is what he's saying. The devil wants to abort every blessing that God's got planned for you. But if you've invested in the kingdom of God, hallelujah, I'm going to tell you that you have an inventory in heaven that the devil simply cannot in any way abort. My God is a rich God. My God is a great God. My God is a God that never forgets a praise. My God never forgets a prayer. My God never forgets an attendance. My God never forgets a hallelujah. Some of you are rich in heaven. Some of you might not be millionaires according to Chase Bank, but thank God you're billionaires in heaven. You've got an inventory of heaven that is overflowing, and God is just looking at you saying, what do you want and what do you need? And you jump up on the 14th row and say, praise God, I want my son saved. I want my daughter to come to the house of God. I want my body healed. I want my business to prosper. Hallelujah. How can that happen? Because you made an investment here on earth, and now you've got a great inventory in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that don't understand the things of God discount everything that's holy. Prayer means nothing. Fasting means nothing. Giving means nothing. Tithing means nothing. And coming to God's house with regularity certainly means nothing. They have the Judas spirit on them. When the woman breaks the alabaster box and they say, what purpose is this waste? They say it is simply a waste of time. In fact, in Malachi, talking about tithe, God said, you have spoken stout against me. You said, what profit is it to tithe? There is profit in tithing. There is profit in coming to God's house. But the Judas spirit gets puffed up. So he gets fat jaws. It sets them mad because somebody has brought an alabaster box and broken it and anointed Jesus' feet. And they said, to what purpose is this waste? Why don't you sit down and shut up? You don't need to be on your feet. It's a waste. How come you got to holler out? That's a waste of time. How come every time the doors are open, you've got to be, oh, it's because I believe it's the house of God and the gate to heaven, and I'm making my investment and increasing my inventory. So she broke the alabaster box while the disciples whined and complained. And Jesus said they didn't do that because they cared for the poor. They did that because they discounted the things that God called holy. I don't care whether you like it or not. God calls praise holy. God calls coming to church holy. God calls giving holy. God calls tithing holy. God calls praise and worship holy. God wants to hear your hallelujahs. God wants to see the shining of your countenance. God wants to hear the noise of your hands clapping together. God wants to see you in ecstasy as you realize that heaven has come down and the ladder is now at your feet and angels are descending and bringing blessings from your inventory in heaven. God loves that. And no matter who tries to discount it, it does not matter to me, because God's word is true, and I believe every word he said. When two or three get together, he's here. Jesus Christ is in this building right now. He walks these aisles. He says to whosoever will you come? Will you be made whole? That's the question that Jesus is asking you. You ought to say, yes, sir, right now. Right now I'm going to get my miracle. Right now healing is going to manifest in my body. Hallelujah. I listened to the dean of theology from Harvard the other day defend Pentecostalism, and he said the real fear of I have, the dean of theology, Harvard University, is that Pentecost will lose its fire, because he said it is now 1/4 of the Christian movement in the world. He said 1/4 of all Christians speak in tongues and they're on fire. But he said the other 3/4 of the church, this is the dean of theology at Harvard, he said they're dead. He said they're lifeless. They have nothing to offer. And he said if we lose that 1/4, that fire bunch, he said theology as we know it is gone. Christianity is gone. We've got to have them. So he said, I would beg of you Pentecostals that are now being accepted because you found wealth and acceptance and you're 1/4 of the Christian body. He said, I would beg of you, don't let the fire go out. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what anybody says. I'm on fire for God. I know what it is to be running for my life and suddenly flung myself onto the altar in the house of God and be changed and be transformed and be made new. It is not religion. It is the fire of God. It's the power of Almighty God. Hey! This is the house of God and the gate to heaven. Any old thing can happen in this building today. Somebody can come in here crippled and walk out on two good legs. Somebody can walk in here with a heart condition. Oh, I got a bad report a year or so ago about my heart, Brother Charlie. I went through a series of tests this past week. One of them lasted 5 hours. I went back for the reports on Thursday. My doctor happens to be a great Christian. I was sitting there in his office, and he walked in. I said, how you doing, doctor? He said, not nearly as good as you. He said, I wished I had your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I have found the house of God and the gate to heaven. And I urge you, if you've got a heart condition, stand up right now and say, God created me a new heart. If you've got diabetes, ask God to let his blood flow through yours. I ask you right now to discern that this is the house of God and the gate to heaven. And God himself is here. And angels are descending and ascending. And you can get a miracle that you need in your life. I don't care what it is. You said, Pastor, I got a long sleeve shirt on because I don't want the other church people to see the tracks on my arm. We don't care about your tracks, because we've got a God that is able to take away your addiction. He is a mighty God. He is a mighty God. He is a mighty God. Oh, praise God. Just a few days ago at one of these services, one of the brothers walked out and he said, I want to tell you, God delivers from alcoholism. I drank a quart of whiskey every day before I got saved. I don't care what your problem is. Jacob, you're a liar. Jacob, you're a thief. Jacob, you're a conniver. It does not matter. When you meet God, suddenly the disruptible and those that are despicable suddenly become saints of the Most High God. Why don't you get out of your chair right now? I've got 2 minutes left. Why don't you get out in this next 2 minutes before I ever tell you to come and say, I'm going to come down here right now and I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my salvation. I'm going to get my power. I'm going to get my deliverance. I'm going to get my glory. Oh, do you have any inventory in heaven? Yes, you do. You say, this is the first time I've been here. Well, you got a little inventory in heaven. You say, well, I've been here for 20 years. You got a big inventory in heaven. You need to call it down. You need to make a run on the bank. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said about the woman with the alabaster box, said it is a memorial wherever the gospel is preached. She's got an inventory in heaven. At the household of Cornelius, he didn't know anything about the gospel. But God sent Peter there. And somebody said, why would you send Peter there? And he said, his prayer and his alms have come up as a memorial before God. In other words, Cornelius had a memorial and he had an inventory in heaven. Some of you have got an inventory you're not using. Let me talk not to those that are first-time visitors. Let me talk to some old-timers. Let me talk to some regular customers of God. Some of you are like rich people that never spend anything. Some of you have got an inventory in heaven that's overflowing. You need to call it down right now. You say, praise God, I'm calling on my riches in heaven. I'm going to be healed. My family is going to be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus. The stock market took a terrible dive. People lost millions and millions of dollars. I was sitting in my office 10 days before the stock market dropped. They called me from Ameritrade, which is who I use. And he said, sir, he said, your track record is amazing. You only have one problem. You don't have enough money invested. If you would invest more money with your track record, your results would be awesome. He said, can we get you to make more investment? I said, not only that, sir, I'm glad you called. Because right now I want you to cut me a check for every dime I've got in the stock market and mail it to me. And the day before the stock market, there was my check. I don't have a dime in the stock market. Let it fall. Say, what's that got to do with it? I've got an inventory in heaven. God forewarns me. Hallelujah. He tells me where to go and what to do. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you. God can lead you to the right door, to the right person, to the right job. But praise God, you've got to get some integrity with God. You've got to get an investment with the Lord and then expect a great inventory. If you're in this building right now and you're not saved, you need to come to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never been baptized in water, you're in stark disobedience to the commandment of Jesus himself. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, you're depriving yourself of the gift that Jesus promised in several places, including Acts 1 and 8, when he said, you shall have power. If you're broke, you say, well, that's just my family's always been poor. But you're not your family. You got born again. You got a new DNA, praise God. You need to walk down there and say, God, take the scales off of my eyes and let me see opportunity. God will let you see opportunity that other people do not see. Walk down this aisle right now and say, God, I'm making the investments and I will continue to make the investments, but I'm expecting the inventory. Open up heaven and pour it out upon me more than I can contain. Anybody else in this audience want to come?